way too much information. In the year of our Lord. Luke 6. Can we get to treasures today?
It depends on you.
No, it's these other guys. It was first Gary and then it was Christopher.
I'll just withhold the question that's been burning in my spirit.
What question?
See, there he wants to already get off the track.
Talk about today.
Hey, go for it, Gary.
I'm going to say one.
You don't even have a question.
Yes, I do. It's going to blow your mind.
What is it?
He's got the mother of all questions.
You really want it? Mm-hmm. I'll try and frame it.
He's trying to come up with it.
Christ, how you?
The seed is in us. Mm. And it's finished.
Not
him.
Just the seed. Remember, it's the fullness of Christ.
The fullness of Christ. And yet, it's as if he's a child being raised by the antagonism of the world.
No, he's not being raised. He's being tested to see whether you will be part of the body of Christ or not.
See how far off the track you can get in just one question.
Each one of us are a cell in the body of Christ, in the bride. And just as Christ was tested in all areas, so are we. But our only test is to see, not to do.
So in the seeing, it's like the onion. The layers are peeled away of what has tried to usurp.
Right, all your idolatry, all your rebellion, all your self-seeking.
Right.
That the mystery hides the mystery. That's what the God of this world did. He hid that mystery from man.
And if we're not in complete agreement with repentance, turning,
man, I swallowed wrong. Well, if we're not just in agreement, we have to walk.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can't just say, "Oh, repentance is something that people should do." You have to be. Well, I guess you have to understand.
What was your question?
It's kind of be an answer. It's actually that Christ is...
The question was, is that Christ was a little baby, and then he's growing up in us. That's not... No.
Isn't it just the opposite?
He's the fullness. Remember the placing of the adoption. We've been... the word adoption is in Greek. It's huiothesios. That means the placing of the fullness of the Son. So our only position, if you will, is unlearning, just getting rid of all the crap that you've ever learned.
Yeah.
So that you walk in total dependence and total emptiness before him.
And in that day, which is supplication.
Well.
You talked about yesterday.
Yeah, but that's not supplicating once. It's supplicating from that time and forevermore.
Can we look at Ephesians 1?
No.
About adoption?
Go there and ask me a question if you want to.
Well, is it the same adopt you're referring to just now that you said?
Well, read it and find out.
God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will.
Yes, but again, adoption is huiothesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son. All right? All right, go to Luke 6. I'm going to quit asking you if you have any questions. Well, that was just it was a loose comment. Good, and verse 45, Luke 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, we got to get to see, remember, treasure is the word thesaurus. It doesn't have anything to do with what we, how we use thesaurus, but it's a storehouse. It could be a storehouse of anything. So the question is, what is this good treasure? So let's go, we're going to look at a few scriptures. Let's go back to Proverbs 2. Verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, is what it says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Okay? Now let's go to Matthew 6. We're talking about treasure, in case anybody forgets.
Knowledge of God, treasure?
No. Matthew 6. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks, and wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So what is the treasure? The treasure is the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Him. He is the treasure. Amen? Now, that doesn't do you any good just to know that. You have to live it. That's why out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why let your speech be seasoned with salt. Because you cannot possibly speak about time and space and season it with salt. Salt is only about that which is timeless. So let your speech, not just this speech, but this thought process, be seasoned with salt. And therein you will bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You'll cast down all the high places that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. As we've said so often, there's no thought that you can have that can stand against it is finished. There's no thought that you can have about you that can say you've been perfected, except to say you've been perfected by one offering. There's no thought you can have by looking at the world or anything in the world and not saying it is finished. If you say it, if it isn't finished, then you'll have all kinds of opinions. Amen? All right. Let's go to Matthew 12. It's the same.
The treasures is the answer to Gary's question. The treasure is what we're talking about. That's what the question was.
All right. Matthew 12. This is just Matthew's version of what we just read in Luke. Verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by your fruit. Now again, by definition, whatever fruit you have, if it changes with time, it's corrupt. That's what corrupt means. It rusts, it's on fire. Everything in time and space is on fire. Slowly denigrating. Entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, is slowly getting worse, including you, including me. We have the illusion that we've advanced. We haven't advanced, we've just learned how to manipulate things because of the concept of zero, but that's another thing. We don't get into that. O generation of vipers, O sons of the snake. So, I mean, this defines the tree, good tree and the evil tree. O generation of vipers, which literally means, O sons of the snake, how can you bring evil? How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And then he contrasts it. A good man, which is Christ in you, out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, which are all of the sons of the serpent, out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof for in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now that's pretty hairy. I had to get Harry in there somewhere. Okay, do you understand who the evil tree is? The generation of vipers? There's only two generations in the scriptures. The generation of Adam and the generation of Christ. The generation of Christ is called the days of Messiah. The generation of Adam died at the cross. Do you understand that Abel was the first man to die. He died at the cross. When you die, or anybody dies in the future, they die at the cross. Because again, you have to, the only way to, it's the only exit. It's the only, the question is, will you be resurrected? Or will you go into the dump? No, he is resurrected. You died with him, and the real you was resurrected with him on the third day. You understand that a little bit?
Yes, it's either you're resurrecting the Antichrist or God resurrecting Christ.
All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now how did he blind? How did the God of this world blind? He blinded us, the human race, by the curse. Now how does that work? The curse's primary effect is the need for self-realization. Do you understand that?
Yeah, and intrinsic to self-realization is the judging of the good and evil. That's,
oh, you have to, yeah.
That's part of the formula of the mix.
And so there's no faith.
Right.
And then that's complicated further by Babylon. Cause and effect. But It's in the world was survival of the fittest. Babylon was survival of those who can manipulate cause and effect. But they only survive as long as time lasts. Survival of the fittest is a terrible enemy of faith. Cause and effect is even a worse enemy of mercy and grace and faith. Because if you know how to do it, there's no need for faith. That's what cause and effect means. You know how to do it. Anybody understand that? And yet, in your daily life, I promise you, it is mind-bendingly difficult to leave cause and effect. Why? Well, it's because it's mind-bendingly difficult for a fish to live out of the sea or the water, unless that water is pouring into him and out of his belly full of rivers of living water. All right.
I was thinking about this project that Gary's doing in our bathroom. He's fixing it up, but it doesn't look like he's fixing it up. It looks like he's destroying it. It's like, that's not my image of the way things are supposed to go. But I have to have faith in Gary.
Trust
him. Yeah. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Never you. Not you dying. You bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How do you do that? Ponder that. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen eternal. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels, so that they're not pottery. They're not glass. They're earthen vessels. So that which is within comes out. easily broken. All right. Okay, everybody understand treasures. Let's go back to Luke.
That dying of the Lord Jesus, you kind of stop that bearing about in the body of the dying. The way I can come to terms with that is that he's always laying his life down, dying for others, which I see as a sweet savor to God. That's the life you've inherited, is one who lays his life down. And we bear that in our bodies. Serving or giving life to others.
Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. By there, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are always unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, the reason that you're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord is because nothing can happen to you. Now his, as Gary said, everybody knows John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Let's go to 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now remember what we said about ought. This is a mystery that Mr. Rutledge uncovered. Remember ought, what does it mean? What do you think ought means? This is something we should do.
Not should.
No. No, that's a
zero.
No. Remember, there are no shoulds or ought tos in the Bible.
Hell.
No. A-U-G-H-T.
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of.
O-U-G-H-T.
Come on, we're running out of time.
I'm waiting for John to explain his finding.
I don't remember what you're referring to.
Well, what it means that birds fly.
Fish draw.
But fish, as applied to the human race, can't fly. Ought means it's the natural effect of the life of Christ, laying down his life. If you're not laying down your life, if you're protecting yourself, then you've stopped laying down your life. You have resurrected the evil one. And what? You've made the cross of Christ of none effect.
So we will find in repentance the life of Christ will manifest.
But if it doesn't, it's the obvious, it's the evidence he didn't repent.
Yeah.
He only thought about it.
You're doing works out of your own heart, skill, mind. So.
It doesn't matter. Those are meaningless.
Yeah, so it's the difference between your works and God's works.
I remember when we talked about the dying to self and, you know, we're dead and all that, and it's like, and then we start looking at all this other stuff, and now we got that dying thing out of the way. But the life that we're carrying around is Jesus' life, and he's always pouring himself out and dying.
Amen.
It's like, dang, you know, you go from one thing and thought you got that death thing out of the way, but it's there forever.
All right, that's
that
probably
makes us living sacrifices.
Yeah, that's.
It is so important that we see that this isn't a philosophy. It's a life. There's no shoulds or ought tos. It's only about, but this Bible is a description of life in two different environments. One is time and space, the other is eternity. If you're in time and space, you'll do time and space things. You'll do human things. You may try to do what it says, but you will never do it, so you'll become even worse of a hypocrite. At least the guys in the world are saying, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. All right. Take it, big guy. Well, we got through treasures, I hope.
We saw a funny thing.